When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Sort yourself out for the FA Cup final with some free, new and exclusive beers from one of the UK's best breweries. Our friends at Beer 52 and Siren have teamed up with 8 different breweries to come up with 8 exclusive beers for you. Simply go to beer52.com/paddock and pay the £6.95 postage to receive your free case of beer. I absolutely love Beer 52 and the beers that they send out every single month. They've got absolute experts curating and creating some of the best beers from the best breweries around the entire world. And this month is no different. They are teaming up with Siren on their 10th birthday. For the last decade, I'm sure you've seen them everywhere, Siren have been coming up with some of the best, most cutting-edge modern beers whilst adhering and looking after the traditions of brewing. Siren are known for their IPAs, and this one here, Activate Deadline Mode, is no different whatsoever. It's sort of, I describe it as a kind of greatest hits of an IPA. What do you want? You want your tropical flavours. You want your illustrious mouthfeel. You want, basically, a complex yet refreshing IPA, and that is exactly what this is. Then you've got the Pastel Pils, which offers a clean, harmonious flavour, everything you want from the perfect lager. And at the other end of the spectrum, you've got the Dark Birthday Bourbon, a nitro stout, which is infused with incredible bourbon maple oak for a dark, chocolatey, roasty flavour. And if you don't like dark beers, you can stick with the light only box. The customizability is there. Whatever you want, Beer 52 have got it. And also, you're getting snacks in the box. You're also getting Ferment Magazine, which takes you through the journey of Siren's award-winning story. What more could you want? And all you have to do is head to beer52.com/paddock to get your free box of beers. And again, if you're not satisfied, you can pause or cancel at any time. Again, beer52.com/paddock. That is beer52.com/paddock. Hello and welcome to Stretford Paddock. This is the Paddock Podcast. Thank you to Beer 52 for sponsoring us. Make sure you check out that link. It's in the description. I'm joined by Jay Motti, and I'm joined by you at home or wherever you are, on the beach, on the train, in, you know, a school perhaps. I don't know, in a teaching capacity. We are going to be talking about Erik ten Hag, Manchester United season, proving the doubters wrong, coming out, silencing the critics, the amount of shit that he's had this season, from before he even started, up to his signings, up to how it's been on the pitch, how it's been off the pitch, whether we've had luck, whether we needed Southgate, whether Martinez was too small. He has shut pretty much everyone up, and I will delight in nothing more, or nothing will make me delight more than going through it piece by piece and proving and showing exactly how everyone can shut their mouth and see that Ten Hag is an excellent manager. How are you, Jay?
I'm good, man. I am. I agree with what you're saying. I like a bit of this, mate. I like it when, people are proven wrong when they've criticised Manchester United and they've gone early on criticising Manchester United, and B, when people are having little mini meltdowns, which I've seen a lot of. Like, oh, United aren't even that good this season. They only done it because Liverpool and Chelsea didn't turn up.
Oh, right. Oh, sorry. Should we have asked them to win fucking 35 games this season and still be better than... What are you on about? Yeah, obviously, if City and Liverpool... Chelsea and Liverpool had have got more points than United, we would have finished lower. Yeah. Obviously, that's what fucking football is.
I know.
Well, United only finished above Chelsea because they got more points than them. Yes! That's what are you talking about? That's what it boils down to.
Honestly, people are just...
Well, City haven't even done that well this season, Jay, because they've only won the European Cup because they're in it. We weren't even in it, so that's shit. That don't even count. They've only finished above United in the league because they've won more games. Idiots.
I know, man.
What are you on about?
It's kind of heartwarming, though.
Yeah, it is.
Like, nice. Because I remember it kind of started under David Moyes where No one was annoyed with us. People felt sorry for us. People, like, rival fans were sticking up for the United manager, saying, oh, you got to leave him and that, because he wanted him to stay because he was so bad. And we were a bit of a laughing stock under Ralph Ragnick, if we're being brutally honest.
We were.
And under Erik ten Hag, it's not been perfect. As much as it hasn't, it has, sorry, some of the away results, obviously. But in terms of what we were hoping for and expecting this season, I think he's more than done a very good job.
Yeah.
Top four in a trophy was what almost every United fan I spoke to said, if we get top four in a trophy, that'd be a great season. Yeah. We've got that and potentially another one as well. And also, yes, away from home, not great, but he's done what he said he wanted to do after, I think it was a loss to Sociedad or whatever it was. He said, I want to turn Old Trafford into a fortress. He's done that. Our home record is phenomenal. And if we can take some of that form away from home next season, then there's every reason to believe that we can have a title challenge. And also, I don't want to sort of pile on these people because I do like both of them for different reasons. But Anthony Martial and Wout Weghorst have been, collectively in the Premier League, not great. One's been injured for 2/3 of the season, so that means you can't use him. So no matter how good you think he is when he starts, he's borderline useless to you. Well, he is useless to you if you don't play. And Wout Weghorst, for all his energy and his effort and the fact he gets stuck in, and I like the kid, he scored 0 Premier League goals.
Yeah, they've got 6 goals between him and the league. We don't need to be nice.
Yeah. Can you imagine another manager who loses a player who scored 18 Premier League goals last season, replaces him with one who scored 0 because he's got no money to spend, and another one who is injured all season and still manages to get third, still manages to finish 8 points above 5th, still manages to win a trophy and still manages to get us to another cup final and also along the way beats Barcelona. Like, let's have it right. That is pretty amazing when you consider Tottenham have had 30 goals a season, Harry Kane. Yes, Marcus Rashford has been banging in goals for Manchester United, but he's not a striker. He plays there sporadically, but he's basically an inverted left winger. He's a left winger, innit? Who's waiting with some goals. So for Erik ten Hag to do all this with basically no number nine is ridiculous.
Well, on that number nine thing, and I've got my phone because I've got the Premier League here. If you look at how many goals scored per point gained.
Okay.
So essentially, like, we're struggling to score goals at the minute, so we've had to do very well in that regard. City have scored 94 goals, have accrued 89 points. Yeah?
Yeah.
Arsenal scored 88, accrued 84. Both of them have scored more goals than they've got points, but are roughly 1-1.
Okay.
You look at Newcastle, 68 goals, 71 points. Again, thereabouts. Liverpool, 75 goals, 67 points, outscoring their goals. If you look up and down the league, we were talking about this the other day, you will see a trend of roughly, except Leicester, who are massively underperforming, a trend of roughly, a goal is worth roughly a point.
Okay.
For instance, Brentford have scored 58 goals, got 59 points. Man United have by far the best goal scored to points earned ratio. We've got 75 points off of 58 goals. No one is even close. So the fact that Ten Hag has managed to, first of all, only score 58 goals, which is less than Brighton, less than Tottenham, the same as Brentford, like less than, obviously less than Liverpool and Newcastle and Arsenal and City as well. We've scored less than all of those teams, and yet we've still managed to get 75 points. That is a testament to how we set up tactically, the transfers that he's brought in. Casemiro and Martinez in particular have been exceptional this season. But that is a massively positive sign that he can turn 58 goals into 75 points, because no one else is doing that. Do you know what I mean? If we could up our goals by 20, you're looking at a phenomenal season next year. And it's to that point, like you said, Martial and Weghorst have barely scored a goal between them in the league all season, 6. And I think between them, they've cumulatively appeared sort of 35 or so times in the league. Pretty much every game has had one of them in. Or both, to be able to still get 75 points off that few goals is genuinely better than anyone else is doing in the league. And that's, a brilliant sign going forward. So, it's mad how much criticism he's had. And we'll get into some of the specifics of it. But I also think if you're willing to go early, if you're willing to say Martinez won't work or you should get Southgate or whatever it is, whatever the criticism is, if you're willing to go early, you need to be willing to be criticised for that opinion.
Yeah.
Because you get lauded for it, you get hailed for it when it works out, like Gary Neville did with saying that City will win the league comfortably. he got a load of shit at the time, but now he's getting all these TikToks, these tweets, these Instagrams. He's getting his flowers because he was right. But if he was wrong, I'm sure he would have held his hand up and said, I'm wrong, you know, and I deserve the criticism. Because if you go early and you get it right, you look great. And if you don't, you look stupid. And then people call you out for being stupid, and that's the game. We're in it, they're in it. You know, that's how it goes.
I don't get the thing of going early as well. I went to that, well, didn't matter whether you went or not. I watched that Brighton game. Mm. Martinez had a good game.
Yeah.
I was saying Martinez and Eriksen are the two best players on the pitch for United. I don't think he played that badly. And against Brentford, we conceded four goals. One of the goals he fell over, Ben Mee's header.
Yeah.
I don't particularly think he was at fault for any of the others, unless I'm misremembering it. So it wasn't like he'd had two stinkers.
No.
He'd had a decent game. It wasn't great by United standards, the whole team performance, but his performance was all right.
Yeah.
And he'd had probably a below par game.
A mistake
where
he fell over. He wasn't beaten in the air. He was on his back.
But I'm watching these games and I'm not going, why have we bought him?
Well, that's obviously where Carragher came out and said he won't work in the Premier League.
Short memories. Patrice Evra dropped a stinker on his debut.
Yeah.
He got hooked at half-time against City. He was terrible. But you trust that there's a reason that he went to the Champions League final with Monaco, and there's a reason Fergie trusted him and wanted to bring him in January. Give him a bit of time to get used to Premier League.
Yep.
People were just going far too early. Just on his height as well with Martinez. It wasn't even his ability. It was, he's too small. How's he going to do when he plays against Haaland? He played against Haaland in the Champions League, and people just don't do their own work.
Well, do you know why people said that? Because they hadn't actually watched him play. So what are the things we definitely know about him? Well, we know he's 5'9", because it says that on his Wikipedia.
Yeah.
No one can, you know, I can, if Jamie Carragher came out and said, you know, he's not very good on the ball, I don't think his tackling's very good, he doesn't read the game very well, he could be criticised for that because he obviously hasn't watched him.
Yeah.
If you come out and say he's 5'9", that's too small, you don't need to have seen him at Ajax. You don't need to have done your research.
Yeah, that's a
good
point.
He's 5'9", that is indisputable. So you might as well make an opinion based on the facts you do know, and rather than actually try and research this guy as a whole. And I appreciate that someone like Carragher has to have an opinion on what, roughly 250 footballers. He has to have to be able to bring out an opinion on pretty much anyone in the Premier League, and that's not easy. But then don't use that pressure to criticise players who you don't know enough about. That seems like the wrong way to do it. Why not err on the side of compliments and like positivity rather than, this is never going to, I'm convinced this can't work after two games when you've never seen him play until he came to the Premier League, which is fair enough. But then let's be positive rather than trying to like tear him down already.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. And even if you just held your hands up a little bit and said, I haven't watched loads of him at Ajax, it'll be interesting to see how he gets on in the Premier League. I'm concerned about his height. That could be an issue.
Yeah.
If there's crosses coming into the box, if you don't know how to deal with him, we'll have to wait and see. But to go, nah. And do you know what, though? I will give Carragher one sort of bit of credit here. Not a bit of credit. I'll give him a little bit of leeway here in the sense that not everyone has watched Ajax week in, week out. Not everyone has seen a lot of Lisandro Martinez, yeah? So it's easy to, everything you just said there is bang on. It's easy to go, I ain't seen a lot of the kid. I hadn't seen a lot of him.
No.
I cannot imagine life without Martinez now. I love him. But when we were linked with him, I was thinking, if we don't get him, it's not the end of the world. Now, if we didn't get him, it'd be a disaster. We'd be mid-table.
Yeah.
So I'm so relieved that we got him. He's ace. But I didn't know loads about him, is my point. And obviously Jamie Carragher did. You can't not have watched Casemiro play football.
Yeah.
And work in football.
And also, just before you move on, sorry.
Yeah.
At least Carragher has now come out and said, I was wrong about Martinez. I think he's given
He said it to you.
He said it to me.
He said it to you because you called him out on it early doors.
Yeah.
And he held his hands up.
Yeah.
More recently, he's done an apology.
And I think he said he was his most surprising signing of the
season.
Yeah,
and he gave him proper credit. He didn't just go, he's done all right. He went, listen, I got it wrong. He's been ace.
Yeah.
He's my most surprising. I can stomach that. He's held his hands up to say, look, I got it wrong. That's all right. That's fair enough. Graham Souness has obviously watched Casemiro.
He must have.
Right, you cannot
have not watched
Casemiro.
If you've watched any football for the last 10 years, you've seen Casemiro in at least four Champions League finals or five or whatever it was. He must have seen
winning
at least those games.
Winning them.
Never lost one, Jay.
You've seen him winning five Champions Leagues,
against a multitude of different sides.
Not exactly. And not like he doesn't turn up in them games.
No.
Like they go, we won that. It's not Jonathan Greening.
No.
Not David May at the end going, yay.
Yeah.
Do I get a medal? No.
No.
All right, okay. I'm in the pictures. That'll do me. He was an integral part of those successes.
Yeah.
Yeah. if you're an ex-midfielder who's also a pundit who commentates on games, you must have watched Casemiro.
Yeah.
To have watched Casemiro and then to have come out with the idea that he's only a steady Eddie is beyond scouse. That is just the scouseness just exuding from every pore in your body where United have signed one of the best midfielders on the planet and rather than you going, do you know what? He's a good player. You go, steady. Because you can't say he's rubbish because that's too much.
No, that's bizarre.
You can't say the guy that's won five Champions Leagues is rubbish.
That's just even, psychotic.
Yeah, that's just too ridiculous. So you've got to go to the next best thing and go, he's all right.
Yeah.
Steady Eddie.
Doesn't stand out in any way. He sort of ticks along. You know, he's okay.
Yeah,
but no, he's not any more than that.
Don't give five Champions League medals to people that are okay or steady. No. You have to be in midfield.
Starting.
Yeah, you have to be mint.
Yeah.
And he was, and he is.
Yeah.
And anyone who's watched him for United can see that. But Graeme Souness, again, went early. I think the moment we signed him and was like, nah.
Certain players as well from that Madrid team you could look at and maybe question who aren't starting every week, or you know, someone like a Rodrigo or an Asensio or maybe an Isco even from the earlier days. You can maybe have questions about them because they come in and out of the team, they're not always integral, they make a lot of substitute appearances. Casemiro started every game he was fit for 6 years in a row, or 8 years, whatever it was, in a row for Real Madrid. There was no question about whether he was a steady Eddie or not. It's just he's a top player and that is it.
It's someone here, Preethan Muniri Ternam, makes a great point. Lads, just see where Real are this season without Casemiro. They miss him in that midfield.
Yeah,
they do. You saw them get overrun against City, for example, not just City. You've seen it a few times. They've not been as all-powerful, especially in the Champions League, as they have been in previous seasons. Yeah. He's that guy in that midfield. He is... Yeah. So they're missing him massively. Lexus Babant says, boring Souness, enjoy Europa on a Thursday, lad. Ross Murphy says, thank God Souness is not on Sky Sports no more. Completely agree with that. Loads of people in the comments says, Glenn F says, hit the likes, people. Yeah, that's a good point. Other people talking about Vogt Veghorst being a low move. Yeah, it's a low move because we had to get a low move because we had no money to spend in January.
Yeah.
And I think Erik ten Hag, to be fair, has sort of mentioned that. He's called it out and said, you know, we couldn't go big. Other teams spent in January. Yeah. We didn't. He brought in Marcel Sabitzer as a loan move, and he brought in Vogt Veghorst on a loan from Burnley just to sort of plug the gaps and to give us a different option, and it worked.
We've also, John Aldridge has come out with an article today, but before that, let's hear a little word from our sponsor, Surfshark. Hello and welcome to Stretford Paddock. This podcast is brought to you by Surfshark VPN. Now more than ever, our internet reliance is increasing, from talking to loved ones, to streaming your favourite shows, to watching any of the podcasts here on Stretford Paddock. And with that increased footprint, so does our need for proper internet security. And Surfshark is a VPN service that encrypts your data, which stops anyone unwanted from seeing it. Another great thing about Surfshark is it allows you to see all of the great content from around the world. Simply sign in to Brazil and check out their Netflix. You can watch Croatian Amazon Prime. And when you're on holiday, you can still watch all of your shows from back home simply by changing it to your home nation. It is that simple. And currently Surfshark have an amazing deal. By clicking the link in the description and using our code PADDOCK, you can get a whole 3 months extra for free. That is 3 months extra for free. In addition, Surfshark also offer a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, use that link in the description and use the code PADDOCK for 3 months for free and a 30-day money-back guarantee. Again, to Surfshark for sponsoring the podcast. Make sure you check them out. You've got a couple of super chats there before we get to this John Aldridge crud. I honestly can't believe what we're about to read, by the way, this article.
I'm
so excited to talk about it.
It's nonsense, but part of me is going to enjoy this because it's so ridiculous. Kyle Chester says, look after your backs, lads, carrying the channel. It's a team effort, and other presenters have been doing some good stuff today.
Yes.
It's going to be, there's a cracking video that's going to be out later on this week, so we can't be too judgmental or critical when you think you just see me and Joe here.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on behind the scenes, and trust me, you're going to be buzzing when you see what we've got planned. Mark Hatton, who's been a member of the Academy for 30 months, thanks for your support, Mark. Much appreciated. Says, this weekend will be my first ever trip to Wembley. Had to pay through the nose, but I said I wanted to go this season. Hope it's worth it. I do as well for you, Mark. Especially if you're a United fan, I presume you are on this channel, but you never know. Surname Hatton reminds me of someone, but I'm sure you're a Red, and hopefully it'll be a very memorable trip for all the right reasons. Shall we talk about John Aldridge?
John Aldridge. Now, firstly...
Do you want to know a bit of trivia about John Aldridge?
Well, firstly, who is John Aldridge? Because there will be some people watching this who vaguely recognise the name but don't really associate it with a person or a set of characteristics.
John Aldridge played for Liverpool in the late 80s. Yeah. He was a striker. He was very, very scouse. He is very scouse. He was sort of a big Liverpool fan.
You could say painfully scouse.
Painfully. It was I'm so scouse, I can barely open my mouth. And he got a move to Liverpool to replace Ian Rush when Ian Rush went to Juventus. Ian Rush said when he went to Italy, he said it was like living in a different country. So he's another genius that the scousers have had playing for him. So he replaced him, a bit of like for like, to be honest with you. Did all right for
a couple. He didn't actually say that.
Yeah, he did.
What do you mean?
He said a quote about when he moved to Italy, it was like living in a different country.
So does he think that Turin is a part of England?
I don't know. Like living in a foreign country, yeah, this is what he said. So Ian Rush, when he went to Juventus.
From Liverpool.
From Liverpool, right? At Liverpool, he was banging in goals for fun. He went to Juve and he struggled. And he said, "I couldn't settle in Italy. It was like living in a foreign country."
Just so, like it, Jay. Similar, but obviously not a foreign country.
He's got a new career as a tour guide. I mean, just absolutely bonkers thing to say. So anyway, John Aldridge comes in. John Aldridge is a Liverpool fan, plays for Liverpool a couple of seasons, living his dream. Yeah. He was, I think, the first player or the only player, I don't know if he was the first or the only player to miss a penalty in the FA Cup final against Wimbledon. He missed that. Dave Besson saved it. Also, a bit of trivia.
There we go.
This is it's a bit annoying, but I think he was the first player to score against a Manchester United side managed by Sir Alex Ferguson. When Oxford beat us 2-0, he was at Oxford, he went to Liverpool, and that's where he made his name. So he's very, very pro-Scouse and United. He writes a column for he's done stuff for the Liverpool Echo, he's done stuff for various radio stations.
He's on telly occasionally.
Yeah, on telly occasionally, and he's done this for the Sunday World, this piece.
What is the Sunday World, by the way?
I don't know.
We were talking about this before, but it feels the Sunday World feels like a newspaper from a comic book.
I think it's Irish. There's a lot of Irish stories in here, so I presume it's Irish. So
that would make sense.
Forgive us for not being au fait with it, but it's this Irish newspaper. So he's done this interview with it, like a column that someone's written for him, basically. And the title says, John Aldridge, Manchester United got lucky in a strange season.
Good.
Liverpool and Chelsea's demise opened the door for United to seal top four finish. Now, I've got to just step in here, because already this has annoyed me with just the stupidity of it. Liverpool and Chelsea's demise opened the door for United to seal top four finish. Now, I'm not an expert on football by any stretch of the imagination, but Liverpool and Chelsea's demise might matter if it wasn't for the fact Arsenal had one of the best starts to a season in Premier League history. Mm. They've more than stepped into the void that Liverpool or Chelsea have left.
Yeah.
Newcastle had one of their best seasons ever.
Newcastle have got more points this season than we got last season.
Yeah, so those two teams have replaced. It's not like everyone was rubbish.
No.
Chelsea and Liverpool dropped out, and Arsenal and Newcastle have stepped up.
Do you know who else got more points than we did last season? Liverpool, for instance. Brighton, for instance. I think even Tottenham have. Everyone down to Brentford got more points than us last season. So it wasn't like we just did the same as we always do, but we got lucky.
No.
We have got 17 more points than last season. That's nothing to do with Chelsea getting Frank Lampard in or Liverpool having no midfield. That's because we have got a lot better.
Exactly.
And also, if you want to talk about teams capitalising on unusual seasons, how about the one that won the league when the world was in fucking lockdown?
You had no fans. You had extra breaks, drink breaks or something. They changed the rules, I think, on
extra subs, extra breaks. No one in the ground. Everyone was basically in a bunker for 2 years, and that's the year Liverpool won the league. So don't start with, it was an unusual season and United got lucky by it. Fuck me. The kings of getting lucky from an unusual season is literally Liverpool FC. The only title they've ever won was because they didn't have the pressure of their own fans making them worse. Fuck off.
Exactly.
Other than that,
one Premier League title they won, they've just, you know, there's an asterisk. So he says, the Premier League's top six has been settled in the last few years with the occasional interruption from a team.
So not settled then?
Like Leicester, when they had an exceptional campaign. Yeah, this is the season when all that has been ripped up and nothing made sense. Yeah. Now, this is where it gets really good. For starters, we had a World Cup that should never have been allowed to take place, stuck in the middle of the season. Now, what I love about this is that the implication that this World Cup that was stuck in the middle of the season...
Which I agree, should never have been.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. But last time I checked, United just didn't get to play through it.
Look, do you remember when we got a chance to get extra points by playing those extra games when the World Cup was on? Liverpool had to stop for the World Cup.
Yeah, we just carried on.
Yeah, we played Fleetwood four times.
Yeah, it was great because the other teams weren't even there because they were all their players at the World Cup.
How good was that?
Yeah.
That didn't affect us.
Just tapping the ball into an empty net when we were playing Liverpool because there was no one there. It was mint. Right? So that's just a nonsense.
Yeah.
Then also the fact that if you want to talk about Manchester United players at the World Cup, Marcus Rashford, Bruno Fernandes, Rafael Varane, Lisandro Martinez... all played a lot of minutes.
Diogo Dalot played a fair amount of
Diogo Dalot.
Yeah.
Minutes. You're right to use the term minutes. Because even though Martinez, for example, wasn't a starter, he played games and he played like 120 minutes in the quarterfinal,
yeah.
A full game, I think, against Australia. Rafael Varane played 119 minutes in the final and every game, I think, up to then about one. Bruno Fernandes was playing a lot of games. Like, all our main players, barring the goalkeeper, played, even Harry Maguire.
Maguire, Shaw.
Yep. People what are sort of going, he's not that great. They all played. So it's not like we didn't have any players at the World Cup.
No.
It's not like we were like City with Haaland, who's just putting his feet up.
Yeah.
So that makes...
Or like Trent Alexander-Arnold, who barely had to play.
Yeah, didn't even kick a ball.
That was it.
So that makes no sense. So then he goes, that made it feel like two separate stories, before and after the tournament in Qatar.
Yeah.
Right, okay. So before the tournament in Qatar, where we beat the likes of Liverpool and Arsenal.
Yeah.
And then after the tournament Qatar, when we beat the likes of Manchester City.
Yeah.
So two halves of the season, both of which we did pretty well in.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. So that makes no sense. Then he says, the break helped United manager Erik ten Hag. I can't believe that an editor has allowed this to be published. As Cristiano Ronaldo was pushed out of the club just before the World Cup.
Mm.
And if the season was ongoing, it would have been a huge story.
Right.
I read that and I was shocked to know that Ronaldo was pushed out of the club.
Did you know
because
he's left?
That was such a small story,
Jay,
that no one covered it.
It would have, well, that's the thing. I mean, if the World Cup wasn't there, it would have been a huge story. But as it was in the real world, barely any column inches were given to Cristiano Ronaldo's explosive, exclusive, day by day, leaking every sentence like a new fucking TV show story by Piers Morgan. Barely anyone said a word about that, Jay.
I wondered why at the club shop yesterday they were laughing at me when I asked for Ronaldo 7 on the back of my shirt. I thought it was just taking a minute, but apparently he's left.
Yeah, he's left, Jay. Sorry.
I wonder why no one was joining in my Viva Ronaldo chance.
It's a shame that John Aldridge had to break it to you. But yeah, the World Cup basically stopped
now
that being a story.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I was singing Viva Ronaldo.
Yeah. Also, the other thing as well is, it's like this sort of purposeful sort of stupidity. Because obviously the reason it was leaked when it did and when he did the interview when he did was because he knew the World Cup was coming up. If it wasn't for that, he probably would have just left in January and it would have been sort of not quite as discreet or as, you know, covered up or whatever. But he would have just left a month later instead. He purposefully did it in November because the World Cup was coming up. Like, it was all calculated by Ronaldo. He knows that. It wouldn't have just played out exactly the same if the World Cup wasn't on.
I think you're giving him two. You say purposeful stupidity. I'd take the purposeful out of that sentence. Yeah. It's just stupidity.
And just unavoidable.
It's just ignorance. It's just being proper thick.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, like, you know, they got lucky. Ronaldo leaving was lucky.
Yeah, what's always a good thing is, do you know when your top striker?
Yeah.
And
one
club
of the greatest
legend,
strikers of all time.
Yeah, and one of only four people at your club to have won a Ballon d'Or.
Yeah.
Do you know when they sort of slag off the entire team, structure of the club, owners and teammates?
And the manager.
And the manager during a season.
Yeah.
That's always great for the team.
It's so good for so many reasons. It boosts morale.
Yeah.
It gives the manager a nice little breather.
Yeah.
Like, it sort of settles his nerves.
Yeah.
Everyone's on the same page. It gives out the right impression to everyone as well. Your opponents are gutted.
Yeah.
They're going into games thinking United have got their act together.
Yeah.
This is a proper unit.
Yeah.
This is a team of soldiers in the platoon together.
Yeah. This is, remember that, I think it was 2019 when, or 2020 when we played Liverpool. This reminds me of that where we had to use all three of our subs in the first half because of injuries.
Yeah.
And Klopp said it was difficult. Obviously, we struggled to get our flow going after all their substitutions. You're like, oh, sorry, us having three injuries and having to make all of our subs in the first half and Rashford having to play
hobble
on
around
and to hobble on
because busted ankle.
Yeah, that made your team worse. Yeah. Like, you know, when Cristiano Ronaldo left, that helped things.
And he took his goals with him.
Yeah.
That's always a bonus.
Great.
So
cheers, John.
Then he says here, another big helping hand that has pushed United towards
the top
four.
The big helping hands we've had so far is the World Cup happened.
Yeah, and that benefited United.
And our star man and by far the most famous and influential player at the club, destroyed and decimated the entire team in an interview. That was the two helping hands we've had so far. Carry on.
Yeah. So he says another big helping hand that has pushed United towards a top four finish. Has come from their rivals, especially Chelsea and Liverpool. I'll start with Chelsea, as I can't believe the season they've had. Goes on to say they spent £600 million. Yep. They put Frank Lampard in. They have been pathetic all season, and the players in that dressing room should be ashamed of the performance that they've put in. He goes on and on and on about that. He says, with the money they have at their disposal, I've got no doubt that Chelsea will be back in the mix for a top four finish next season, but their slide helped United this time around.
Right.
Because only United benefited from that. And also, like I said earlier, no one filled that void. It's not like Newcastle or Arsenal had great seasons where they went on mad runs. It was just United that benefited from that because it specifically helped United.
It's so bizarre, isn't it? And also, like, this thing of, United stumbled across the finish line.
Yeah.
Like, for barely getting top four. We were further ahead of Liverpool than City were of Arsenal.
Yeah.
No one would accuse City of stumbling across the finish line for this Premier League. They won the Premier League comfortably. We finished further ahead of Liverpool than City did. It was comfortable. There was one point after we lost that, what was the second game in a row that we lost?
Brentford.
Yeah, where we were 4 points clear with a game in hand.
Recently.
Yeah.
West Ham.
Yeah, West Ham. Were we 4 points clear with a game in hand, or were we 1 point clear with a game in hand?
Yeah, 1 point clear. We went down to a point and a game in hand.
A point clear with a game in hand. That is the closest it ever got.
Yeah.
Which is close-ish, but winning four games in a row or three games in a row, whatever it was, is hardly stumbling across the line.
If you look at it,
line,
it was like
it?
We were top four all the way until we were top three once we got in the top four.
We literally
stayed. I think that's how it works. I don't think we dropped out of it. I might be misremembering. I'll double check that for starting in a minute though. So then he goes, this is where, again, it's so contradictory and it's so nonsensical. Injury problems were a factor in the pre-World Cup period. They talk about Liverpool, sorry.
Okay.
Then we get to Liverpool and I would suggest they have had a disastrous season. I agree for once. Injury problems were a factor in the pre-World Cup period and having all the strikers out at the same time was a massive problem for Jurgen Klopp. Yeah, because you remember when United had all those strikers at our disposal?
Yeah.
Where we had... Oh, no, we didn't have Ronaldo, he left. We didn't have Anthony Martial because he was injured. So we had no strikers at all.
Yeah.
And we had to get one on loan from Burnley.
Well, pre-World Cup, we literally... There were points where we had no strikers because Ronaldo was so bad or out of form or injured that he wasn't playing. Or refusing to play, as it turned out in some of the games. Martial was just out. Like, it's just ridiculous.
And this is my favourite, right? This is where... You see, with all of this, right, the get-out-of-jail-free card you've got is the fact that it's your opinion, right? Yeah. So even though you're chatting nonsense, yeah, it's your opinion. So you can go, look, that's drivel, yeah? But to be fair to you, it's your opinion. So even if it's nonsense, even if it's contradictory, even if it's borderline insane, it's your opinion. You're entitled to it.
Yeah.
This is the killer for me. This is a season when Liverpool have been dreadful and United have been hailed for making big progress under Ten Hag.
Yeah.
Yet they are only 6 points ahead. The problem with that is we're 8 points ahead.
Yeah.
So not only is this ridiculous opinions, you've actually just started lying. About what has gone on. You've actually stopped even bothering with the truth. Yeah. You may as well have said, you know what, Liverpool finished above United. If you're gonna lie, just lie.
And after
just
all
go
that,
for it. Just go, and Liverpool have got a Champions League final to look forward to and have finished above United. And we had no players all season and we had to play our under-15s. Yeah? And
they had to
Eric
train
Ten
Hag
shot lifts.
Yeah.
Just make up a load of stuff. Why, if you're gonna lie, why not just make it even bigger? Just go the whole hog, bro. Don't hold back. You're just lying about the table now, which makes even, again, and I'm sorry, I don't want to give any credit to John Ogier. An editor's read this and just published it. So then he goes on, I'm sure United will spend big this summer, and if they get Harry Kane out of Tottenham, they will be a threat next season. Yet United and the rest are still a million miles behind City, and recent history suggests that only one team and one manager can close that gap. Again, rubbish. Recent history suggests that only one manager and one team can close that gap. I'm pretty sure that I think Liverpool have finished second, is it twice in about 7 years or something? Mm. And obviously they won the title once. United have done something similar other than winning the title. We finished second twice in the last 6 years or 5 years. So this myth that it's only Liverpool that ever challenged City, it's not true. They don't. They finish under Klopp like fourth again. Yeah. They haven't been. It's not like United and Arsenal. When you remember from 96 to 2004, United and Arsenal were the top two.
Yeah.
Exchanging titles. The only title winners were United and Arsenal.
Yeah.
That hasn't been the case here. It's mainly been obviously City, Leicester, and obviously going a bit further back, Chelsea as well. But Liverpool have been scraping around fourth.
They have a good season or two, and then they drop off, and then they have a good season, and they drop off.
So it's just, again, it's this myth.
Yeah.
And I just don't get it. I just don't get, like, where it comes from, how you can just sort of get away with it. And then he just goes on to say, you know, the usual stuff about it's going to be a big, sort of big summer for everyone. And he ends it with, the Premier League has to hope Klopp and a new-look Liverpool team return to form next season and give City a real fight. And if they don't, you can just write an article saying how they did, and they won.
Yeah.
They won the title.
That's the best part of all of it.
You don't have to let facts and evidence get in the way of writing for the Sunday World. You can just go, well, that was a great season for Liverpool. We won title number 20.
This thing, and I've said it before, but this thing about how, well, they'll be better next season, and I expect these to be better next season, and these will be better next season, and, well, you know, United have got lucky because these lot will be better next year. Chelsea and Liverpool and Tottenham, and, you know, you keep hearing about, well, Newcastle will improve as well, and Arsenal have got this young squad. Like, every single season, one or more of Man United, Tottenham, Chelsea, Newcastle, I mean, they're only just in the conversation, but we'll stick them in anyway, Liverpool, every single year, minimum, one of them sacks their manager.
Yeah.
Every single year. Every year, one of them does.
Yeah.
I think Arsenal put them in there as well, if I didn't say them. Every single year, one of them has a bad season by their standards.
Yeah.
An uncharacteristically bad season. Chelsea have had a few recently. Like you said, Liverpool have had two in the last 3 years. You know, Newcastle have only just had one good season. Arsenal have had one good season. All the rest have been outside the top four. Tottenham bounce inside and outside the top four over the last 8 years. They're always fourth, fifth, third, sixth. Like, that's what they do. It's very, very rare, actually, that City, well, they're different because they do stay there. Arsenal, Tottenham, Chelsea, Man United, Liverpool all actually ever have good years at the same time. That's actually the rarity.
Yeah.
It is far more common that at least one of them, if not two of them, are having a meltdown.
Yeah.
So this whole thing of, well, they'll improve. They won't all improve.
No.
And the ones that do, there'll be another one that drops out because that's what happens every single season. Yeah. Give me a year when that didn't happen.
No, you're right.
It never happens.
You're right, bro. It's the, completely true. There's a few people that have been doing some fact-checking for us, and I appreciate this, and I trust you. IR says, lads, I've double-checked this for you. United have been in the top four since the 18th game of the season. Didn't drop out once in the final 20 games, yet we stumbled across. Also as well, Dave Harrington says, 3 out of the last 6 seasons we finished above Liverpool. So this, I mean,
obviously that we're not so naive to sit here and say we've been as good as them
we
for
haven't.
The last
they've,
6 years.
They've
we
won
know
a Champions
that.
League and they've won a Premier League.
Of course,
I get it.
They've been
well,
far
this
better.
Idea that they're the only ones that have sort of been challenging City is just nonsense.
Or that they've always challenged City.
Yeah, they haven't.
No,
it's that article. I kind of admire the nonsense of it.
Yeah,
it's just like he's just written it in crayon or in his own shit across the wall of his house. And they printed it off for him.
They took a picture of it and then sent that to the editor.
It's just absolute garbage. Yeah. But he's not alone in defence of Aldo, as he's known.
No, and he's also not alone in the sort of besmirchment of Man United. I don't know if we've got the picture. I don't think we have, but it doesn't really require viewing. At the start of the season, only one of the 22 BBC football pundits predicted United to finish in the top three. And I think only 4 or 5 of them of that 22
we tweeted this,
predicted us to finish even in the top
four.
Can we
grab that if we've got that picture?
Yeah,
I think it's on our Twitter. If you go on our Twitter, it's. I think we tweeted it a few hours ago. You'll find it if you go on media.
Yeah,
it was 4 hours ago we tweeted it. So
I think that's worth talking about because that is...
We'll get that all.
A testament to the expectations that Man United had on them this season. And it's easy for people to now go, oh, we stumbled to top four, which we didn't. Or that, you know, Ten Hag needs to watch out for Chelsea next season and Liverpool will be back and all this. And all these things of, you know, you get to a point where you start off here and everyone is saying he's going to be Frank de Boer 2.0. He's not good enough. Winning a couple of trophies in Ajax. And what was it that Danny Murphy said? I think United should have gone for Southgate instead of Ten Hag. I would pick Southgate. What Ten Hag has done, of course it's incredible. Oh, sorry, of course it is credible winning the league three times with Ajax. And he did all right with Utrecht. He's not managed big players at a big club. So we don't know how he's going to deal with that pressure. So he started here. Yeah. Then you have those two games against Brighton and Brentford, and he goes down to here. Yep. Then you have the Liverpool game, the Arsenal game, all these things ticking, ticking, ticking away, and he builds it up and builds it up. And then you get to another point, which is an odd point, where people then go, oh, now he's actually built up a bit of credit in the bank. Now we have to drag him back down again. Because we got to, you know, we were allowed to praise him for a bit because the United were kind of safe. So post winning that League Cup, now it's like, here's why what you did doesn't count. Here's why you shit unless Casemiro's playing. Here's why you stumbled across the finish line. Because it goes back to people are actually a bit scared of United again now. You can praise him when United have just lost to Brentford.
Yeah.
And they beat Liverpool. Oh, that's brilliant, you know, making them run those miles. It's easy because we're not a threat. When we actually get to the point where, shit, they're winning trophies again. They've got another cup final ahead of them.
Yeah.
Then the whole thing of, I used to play for Liverpool, I don't like Man United, all of that comes back out because people are genuinely thinking, if United get a Kane or whatever, then we could be a real danger next season.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, now we're back to United are our rival again. We hate them, they're shit, Ten Hag's rubbish, and they've just stumbled across the finish line. Well, it's rubbish. And here's the predictions at the start of the season, as you want to see here.
So you can see, there's quite a lot of people there. You've got lots of ex-footballers, the likes of Dion Dublin,
yeah.
Chris Sutton, Mickey Richards, Rob Green, Martin Keown, Jonathan Woodgate. So there's a broad spectrum. You've got ex-Everton, Liverpool, City, West Ham, Spurs. There's all sorts in there. To be fair, I think, Rob Green had us second.
Yeah.
I think Dion had us fourth and Nedimanua had us fourth.
Yeah.
So out of all those, there's only three that had us in the top four and only one who had us in the top three, which is Rob Green. I mean, all that shows for me, right, I'll be honest with you, I don't think, and I look at this list, I don't think it's that ridiculous, if I'm being brutally honest. Yeah. I don't think all these pundits predicting United would struggle in the top four.
No.
I get it.
No,
right?
I do. Yeah.
Because I sat here and I said, there is a scenario where we improve and we still finish sixth this season because everyone else could have good seasons. Everyone else can strengthen. Eric Ten Hag's got a lot to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
We've got the Ronaldo situation. We've lost a lot of players in the summer. He's bringing in new signings. Mm. There's a lot going on. So it can be a case of this season he's steadying the ship a little bit and there's progress and then the following season we kick on. So I understand it. I think what that image and those predictions highlight is the job that Eric Ten Hag has done.
Yeah.
He's exceeded, other than Robert Green, who had a second,
yeah,
almost every pundit's expectation.
Yeah.
So you can't have it both ways. You can't say, I didn't think he'd do this well,
yeah,
and he hasn't done a good job.
Yeah.
And I don't think, to be fair, anyone's saying he hasn't done a good job. What I have seen a little bit of is downplaying the job he's done,
yeah,
where it's like, well, he's done all right. Well, I think none of you had him finishing in the top three other than Robert Green.
Yeah, exactly. That's a good point to illustrate what the expectation was at the start of the season. And the things people, the likes of things people are saying is, like you said, they only did it because City and Chelsea, Liverpool and Chelsea had bad seasons. That's one that you hear a lot.
Yep.
The other one is, I wouldn't get carried away.
Yep.
The other one is, you know, it's all well and good doing that, but, you know, he's not going to be able to take him to the next level. But people didn't think we'd do this well.
No.
So what's to say that we might, or Ten Hag might keep sort of overachieving or maybe doing slightly better than people think of it. Like, it's just, like I said, you get to a point where you're so bad that your rivals feel sorry for you and can safely praise you because, you know, you're no threat. And then you get back up to a point where, actually, there's a chance they could do something here. We better start knocking them again. And I think we're sort of tipping back over into that a little bit, which I absolutely love personally.
I have as well, and I completely agree. And it's easy to dismiss it. I think it was 22 pundits who've worked for the BBC.
Yeah.
And you think of how many thousands of football matches they've played between them, and some of them, I think all of them actually played football at some level. the sort of the experiences there, the fact that a lot of them were working for the BBC, they're covering football, and they looked at it and they thought, United just don't have much of a chance. And I think that's testament, as we both said, to the job that Erik ten Hag has done.
What do you think about the Southgate one? Because I know I mentioned it before, but like Danny Murphy saying, what ten Hag has done, of course, is credible, winning the league three times with Ajax, and he did all right with Utrecht. He's not managed big players at a big club, so we don't know how he's going to deal with the pressure. And obviously before that, he said, I would pick Southgate, talking about who United should have gone
for. It feels very much like a sort of, almost like a basic argument that's probably going to, a lot of people who don't like United are probably going to get on board with.
Yeah.
Well, Southgate's done, well, this is before the World Cup as well, don't forget. Because the World Cup sort of dimmed some of his lustre a bit, didn't it? Because we were disappointed in the World Cup, whereas in the Euros and the previous World Cup, we'd done well. And I think you can almost, a lot of people did anyway, and I didn't even watch it, the Nations League, whatever it's called. Yeah. People just sort of went, what even is that?
Yeah.
Whereas getting to the semi-final of the World Cup on foreign soil as well, which is the best result, equal the best result we've ever had, and getting to the Euros final, there's a real positivity around Gareth Southgate and a lot of sort of love for him.
Yeah.
So you go in, look, Gareth Southgate. Now, anyone who watches football and has got a bit of a longer memory than the last 2 years or 3 years, or 5 years even, can remember that Gareth Southgate at Middlesbrough got him relegated and then got sacked when they were in the Championship. And he's not really shown anything where you go, he'd be great at having a tactical ingenuity to mastermind you getting United back to the top of the Premier League. I just don't see it at all. I think if you were to give Gareth Southgate the job at, say, Brighton or even Brentford, or any other team to begin with, I don't think he gets them to the levels. Yeah, why not? I don't think he's that good a manager. I think he's a good international manager in terms of especially getting a group together and getting them all on the same page. And
I think a lot more international football is a lot more, or international management is a lot more about motivation and team spirit than league football is.
Yeah.
League football is about tactics, repeatability, creating chances consistently over a long period of time, which he's not very good at.
No. And the tactically, he's been found out.
Yeah, I have and would defend Southgate in certain aspects because I think that people are applying league management constructs to an international manager's sort of body of work, and I think that's unfair and actually just wrong. But that doesn't mean that he would make a good job at Man United. He would be awful at Man United. He's been an average to poor league team manager, like club team manager. He's not been very good at that.
He got the.
Like, why would you even think that? He's been shit.
I was going to be.
He's been good at England, but that's it.
I was going to be all Andy Tate then. He got the job on a technicality, but he kind of did, didn't he? Because Big Sam got sacked for fake news things.
Is it bad? Just on Big Sam.
Things, and he was like ready to step in his caretake, and then sort
Big Sam's gone, hasn't he? Isn't it sad? Because was it Everton he did before?
He's
West Brom. Because he'd never been relegated ever.
Right.
He'd never been relegated in his career. Then he got the England job, which was a sort of culmination of this sort of 20 years of management, having this reputation, no nonsense. But actually, when you look at the details, a good, reliable manager. Gets the England job, gets sacked in this sort of weird undercover sting job thing, like something from a film. Then he's out in the wilderness for a few years, gets the West Brom job. I think that was his first job back, wasn't it? Then gets them relegated. First ever relegation in his career. Then he's out again in the wilderness. Then gets the Leeds job, gets them relegated. I think his last two jobs now, he's been relegated, having never been relegated before. He's like on the cusp of that's it for Big Sam.
I mean, to be fair, he's 68. So,
I know, but...
I know managers manage into the 70s. Look at what Roy Hodgson's doing. I just feel he's not got the reputation that he had.
That's what I mean. I feel a bit bad
for
him. All he did was take a little bribey. We've all done that. We've all took a backhand, haven't we, Jay?
Yeah, of course we have. Take him every day. The West Brom job didn't work out, and listen, he gets my vote relegating Leeds. I think he's ace.
That's the best thing he's ever done.
It literally is.
Was it drinking a pint of wine by himself in a pub?
Dancing in Marbella as well is a good one. I've seen the dancing
video
of him. I love all that. He's dancing like he's 21 years old. Before we wrap up, Wally of the Week.
Oh, my Wally of the Week is ESPN.
Oh, go on.
And the people replying to them. Maybe it's just Twitter, actually. Twitter might be.
I like this.
Because first of all,
you've always got some big sort of brand or scope.
Concept.
Or, it's never like an individual. It's always like an organisation or a platform.
Well, first of all, the For You page on Twitter or whatever it's called.
That needs binning
is horrendous.
Yeah.
Twitter used to be a sort of reverse chronological order of people you follow's tweets.
Yeah.
Then they sort of updated it to be a reverse chronological order of people you follow's tweets plus some of the highlights of people you follow or people or things that people you follow like.
Yeah.
To sort of, fair enough, I get that. I maybe want to see something that you like of someone that I don't necessarily follow if it's noteworthy. Now, it is just an absolute, just things called like memeology and the woke brigade and like people who have never, Celtics Republic, just basketball highlights, like all these things that I don't give a, how things work, things that I don't want to see all the time, including ESPN FC. So they tweeted today saying, it was a picture of Rashford from this season and Ronaldo from last season. Marcus Rashford almost matched Cristiano Ronaldo's goal tally from last season. Purposefully stirring up shit there.
Yeah, of course. ESPN have got form for that.
But then the replies are just an absolute smorgasbord of people who have paid for Twitter Blue with pictures of Steph Curry as their like Twitter as their icon, saying things like, all I see here is that prime Rashford couldn't match washed Ronaldo. And it's like five less games for Ronaldo. And he was 37. And they call one of them the greatest players of all time finished. And all this thing of like, Ronaldo's worst is better than Rashford's best. No disrespect to anyone, but these are just the levels. There are so many things wrong with what people are saying, Jay. And yeah. I hate Twitter at the moment. Like, that isn't in all competitions, first of all. Rashford has got 6 more goals than Ronaldo did in all competitions. Secondly, Cristiano Ronaldo was on 500 grand a week and is widely regarded as the second or first best player in the history of football. So the standards are slightly higher. When you're being paid the most of anyone in the league and you're Cristiano Ronaldo, he didn't score as many as Rashford. He was playing as a number 9 by himself in a team that finished 6th. Rashford has done that on the wing in a team that has finished 3rd. Like, but everyone knows this, don't they?
Yeah.
What is Twitter full of people who are pretending to be thick to wind other people up? Or is it just people who are just bonkers?
I think
Golden Boy Rashford against finished Ronaldo, crying laughing emojis. And it's not like, 1,100 likes on that.
Yeah, like, there's this weird thing. I think there's certain players who people love to hate on. Rashford's one of them. I've seen a lot of nonsense about Rashford. The kid had a 30-goal season, and yet he still gets stick. Yeah. And I don't know what planet some people are living on. I've heard nonsense like, oh, if we didn't have Rashford, we'd have someone else in who'd score those goals. Well, okay, how are we getting on the other wing? How are them lads doing over there? Where between all of them, they haven't got anywhere near the amount of goals that Marcus Rashford has. And I'm not dissing them. I'm just pointing out it's not a given that your wingers are going to score you 30 goals. That's not how life works in football. And also as well, how many trophies did we win under Ronnie?
Yeah.
This time round. I know we did first time round. We didn't win any. I don't like to hate on Ronnie because I thought in that final season, he did turn up. He did score goals. He went through a traumatic experience that I wouldn't have blamed him if he'd have took the season off after that happened. I wouldn't have. I would not have criticised him. And he came back quite early and he carried on scoring goals and he won us a few games as well, almost single-handedly with his hat-tricks and stuff. So you've got to give him credit. But using that as a reason to bash Rashford, who's just had a fantastic season for Manchester United where he's got loads of goals, he's got important goals, he's helped us win a trophy, he's helped us get Champions League football, he's helped us get to the FA Cup final, is insane.
Yeah, and another one, it's just a tweet. It's a picture of, do you know you get these like Premier League website screenshots where it's like all the stats or basically
all
the selected stats.
The stats.
So it's Ronaldo on this side, Rashford on this side. And the tweet says 37 years old and finished versus Starboy at 29 years old.
He's 29.
He's 25.
He's 29.
Like, it doesn't even matter. But
he's 25 till he's 29.
163 people have liked that. Like Twitter is just
John Aldridge
obscene.
Write that? Did John Aldridge write that? That John sounds Aldridge like it's from the John Aldridge School of Facts. He's actually Marcus Rashford. He's Ronaldo's 48 and Rashford's 28. So there's a 20-year difference. And Marcus Rashford scored 47 goals fewer than what Cristiano Ronaldo managed this morning.
It's just bizarre. None of it makes any sense whatsoever.
Seelig says, this is in a super chat. He says, super chat, you've got to read it out. Don't read it out. What are you reading it out for? He says, I watched the Stretford Paddock announcement video the other day. Jay had a fat head and a beard back then. Well, it's good to see one of them's gone. Yeah. Anyway, so thanks for that. See, like, I don't know whether that's an insult or whatever. It's quite accurate, to
fat
be fair.
Fat head and a beard. He wasn't talking about Steve McCullough, was he?
Wow. It's a good job we're mates and say working together. It's a good job you've got shares, bro. Otherwise, we'd have a team meeting.
Yeah. They're not, yeah.
Do you know what I'm going to go for? I don't want to get deep. It's the hypocrisy of all these people, right, coming out now.
Yeah.
Slagging off Schofield, right? And I've got no time for Philip Schofield. I've made my thoughts clear on him.
No, you like him.
Yeah, but it's all these people going, I knew I hated him. He's always been the wrong one. All this other nonsense when they were praising him when he came out. They were his mates. And it's like, I've known for years what he was like. And I think, why would you write an article sticking up for him then? I just hate the hypocrisy that you see from everyone around it. That's what does me in.
What a bizarre situation that is. Isn't it weird, the whole Philip? I mean, I don't know enough or legally know enough to know what I can and can't say about it. But the whole thing is mad. It's like something from the 70s where you think we've moved past this. We haven't.
No.
Like, people with power can sort of do what they want. And the maddest thing is that people aren't... Like, how can a super injunction exist, Jay?
I don't know. Well, he's saying he didn't have one, isn't he? Okay. So I don't know.
Well, maybe he did. But let's say he did.
Let's stick to the facts, though, right? He's a Tory. We know that.
Do we?
Selfies with Boris Johnson. Of course he is.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? We know all this. The way he went after Corbyn compared to how he treated Johnson, that stinks of being a Tory, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Jumping the queue for the...
Or maybe he's like Gary Neville. Maybe he's nastier to him because he secretly likes him. Like, like Neville doesn't ever say anything good about Man United because he wants people to think that he doesn't like him, but he obviously does.
Maybe it's that. But anyway, like, we'll leave that.
You always vote Conservative, don't you, to sort of hedge your bets?
Yeah, well, when I seen they were winning...
Yeah.
It's why I started supporting United in 2008.
Yeah.
I used to be a Stone City fan, and United started winning loads of titles and won the Champions League and that. So I thought, right, I need to stop doing this.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, you know, I'll be there in my City shirt.
You're one of the very few glory voters, aren't you?
Yeah, I vote for whatever team looks like winning, whatever party looks like the winning. So, look, Tories in 2010.
Yeah, vote them.
Like, oh, yeah, they're looking all right. Coalition, right? Okay, then look like they were favourites.
Yeah.
It's like I was fuming when I voted Remain. Because I thought we were going to win.
Yeah.
I found out it was Leave. I wanted to change my vote. Afterwards, he wouldn't let me.
Too late. Can't go back.
Can I join the Leave party? Because they've won. No. Your vote's final. So, gutted. Anyway, I'm going to wrap it up there. Big thank you to our sponsors. Go and check them out. There's links in the description. Joseph Smith.
Yeah.
Where can people find you?
Just online. Surfing through the absolute bog that is current Twitter. Usually just knocking about there and on the
You don't do
Joe's
Twitter,
podcast
do you?
As well. I go on it a lot, but I just it stuff like that winds me up.
I know you don't do Twitter. Sometimes I'll get a like from you for a tweet from about 3 weeks ago where I've mentioned you.
Yeah, because it's at the top of my little page. You know where it's like recommended for you.
And I used to mention you all the time on Twitter, and you never notice because you don't go on it.
Yeah.
And now I know it's like sometimes I'll get a notification. I'll be like, oh yeah, Joe's made his annual trip to Twitter.
I like it.
Yeah.
But come on, it's a joke, isn't it?
It is.
Starboy at 29, eh?
Starboy at 29. United finished 6 points in front of Liverpool, according to the internet. Perfect. Anyway, go and check out Joe. You know where to find him. Sloppy Joe's podcast as well. You can find producer Ethan there. Make sure you are hitting like, share and subscribe to this channel. You know where to find me as well, Jay Motti. This has been the Paddock Podcast. That's been Joe. I've been Jay. Thanks for watching. Sports Social Podcast Network.